morning and welcome to Game Slackers on 101.5 UMFM.
Woo!
That was a fancy intro.
It was. It sounded really nice and smooth. Yeah, I was impressed. I was sitting here impressed.
Could I even do this professionally? No. You didn't have to answer as quickly as I did. Just because I can admit my flaws doesn't mean I want to hear it from other people.
True. That's understandable. I just was like, I don't know if I could handle that.
But yes, regardless. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Mm-hmm. And, well, what have you been playing?
Honestly, not a lot, except for Breath of the
you
Wild.
You are the worst at video games
I
right
know.
Now.
Well, Breath of the Wild is just
I
like,
want you to have, like, nothing to do.
I know. Me too. Also.
Oh, I'm aiming forward to.
I have been, well, I actually re-went and I finished playing Night in the Woods again. So, but it
did you get a different ending of sorts?
I did get a different ending of sorts, which was pretty satisfying, to be honest. Now I want to play it again just to sort of figure out what else I missed. But yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it again.
Wait,
so.
You were pretty excited to come up with a topic today on some DLC
That's
of
funny.
Your favorite game.
I like that you're saying that I was pretty excited. It was like the only thing I could think of. But
well, you had it in all capital letters when you texted me. We must talk about Dark Souls 3 DLC.
Well, it is pretty important, so I'm just going to explain what Dark Souls is first for anybody.
Who hasn't listened to it? Many
well,
episodes.
Who you never know. You might just walk in and be like, oh, they're talking about something called Dark Souls. That's weird.
As opposed to Light Souls. Yeah. Or Soul Dark.
Or Gray Souls. Or Souls.
Spelled
anyways,
with a Z.
Blood Souls. but Dark Souls is a game series from the From Software, is what they're called. From. FROM. Right? That's, yep.
And that is the typical spelling of From.
Yeah, I know. But I was like, baby, whatever. Whatever. Hush. and Dark Souls is sort of, it's known for being like a really hard game. And that's sort of a big deal with it, is that it's fairly challenging. And I think you will die a lot. And it's kind of an interesting game because it is enjoyable. The fact that you die a lot. Because it's a hard game. Like, I recently played it, or I started playing it last year, which I had never played it before, but I love Dark Souls, the story.
I wonder if the creator was a fan of Ghosts and Goblins back in the day.
He might have been. I know he's a fan of, you can definitely tell he's a fan of Berserk, which is in manga that's been long running, and you can...
It's on hiatus right now.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. It's been on hiatus for a long time.
Yeah. That's well, we have Dark Souls to fill that in. But Dark Souls 3 came out last year. And yeah, last year around this time, actually.
Yeah, because you're playing it when we were getting ready for Icon last year.
Yeah, maybe there's other. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Probably. Yeah. But Dark Souls 3, the last DLC, I think, came out last week, Wednesday, like a week ago.
Yep.
So, and it is called The Ringed City, and so Dark Souls has a really bizarre sense of time. Dark Souls 3, you could probably say, is the third one, like it's the last in the series, so it is chronologically the last, but there is also lots of time manipulation in Dark Souls, so the time is distorted. So you even go further back or further in the future sort of in Dark Souls 3. But this DLC, so the last one was about the painted world of Ariandel, which is directly references the first Dark Souls and an area called the painted world of Ariamis, which is you basically get sucked into a painting. Mario 64 style. I guess in Mario, he usually jumps, right? He doesn't get sucked in. Mario goes willingly.
Mario goes willingly into the dark, deep depths
of
Dark
the paintings.
Soul.
Yeah. That's funny. I saw some good fan art of that exact thing. So the previous DLC had a direct connection to basically the first Dark Souls. And then this new DLC, so the Ring City DLC, basically deals with, oh man, I'm just like, how do I explain this without having to explain the whole plot of Dark Souls? But basically it has to do with humans, or what is we think humans came from, which is the pygmies who, if you've seen the opening of Dark Souls, it tells you all about how the furtive pygmy got the Dark Soul. And that's sort of where humanity comes from. So this Ring City is thought to be the home of the pygmies, which is kind of a big deal because they're a pretty big part of the whole Dark Souls lore in right. terms of this is where humanity comes from. And, you know, humans had the original Dark Soul. So what does that say about humans, right?
If humans came from pygmies, why are there still pygmies around?
Oh, there are. That's funny because there are actually like pygmy-like creatures still.
Yeah.
But
that was just a bad.
Oh,
bad
but
joke.
It's true.
Yeah, it is true.
But it's true. There's pygmy-like things, I guess. But so Dark Souls has never really addressed the pygmies very much, and in this one, the pygmies are, I guess, they obviously humans, but not humans as a race, basically humans as everybody else in the Hollows and all that. But this one directly addresses what happens to the humans. Well, not what happens to them, but sort of like what became of them alongside the gods who, in Dark Souls, you know, they defeated the dragons and brought amongst the Age of Fire. You know all that.
Yeah, we've been through this whole backstory.
Yeah, so it deals with that, and it's actually, I think it's a pretty satisfying DLC. Like, it's pretty long.
Which is good that they keep putting out long
yeah.
downloadable content for this, because, well, who needs just, like, a 20-minute run-through of being like,
true.
And here's some extra lore.
I will say, like, even this DLC, like, the last DLC, it is recommended that you only do it after you have beat the final area, basically, like, right before. Not the final boss, but like the second final boss, basically, before beating that, they say you can do this DLC now, like you're probably at a high enough level. This one is recommended for after that. So, and as in, I think you have to actually have the first DLC to play the second one, because you get to the second DLC via the first one. So I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's actually pretty neat. Like they I don't think they've done that before.
Where they have to tie in their DLC, where you can't just pick and choose.
Which is interesting. Like, it might make some people mad because they're like, oh, I have to buy it. But I don't know, Dark Souls.
If you're enjoying it enough, it's not going to be that big of a deal.
I would say in the painted world of Ariama's DLC is super interesting. Most of it, I would say. There is a little part where I think they just did some stuff to fix the DLC. Or not the DLC, jeez. The player on player. Player versus player.
Right, because there was some issues
That's
before
yeah.
that you were
it just
talking
wasn't,
about.
It just wasn't great.
Well, I'm glad they've improved it.
Yeah, and so this, and then the Ring City is now our big old info dump on lore, which is great. Like, it's, once again, it's super interesting. There's a bunch of new NPCs that are super interesting and kind of creepy, and it's kind of taken a little bit of Bloodborne stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah, Bloodborne creepiness, which is great.
It's kind of a goth sort of styling.
It is, I would say Dark Souls 3 is definitely, it makes sense that it is the most Bloodborne inspired, as it came right after Bloodborne.
Yeah.
So, and it is technically, they're like, this is in future Dark Souls universe ish like it's more versus the older one, which is very not gothic. I don't know, I'm bad with my
it's okay
historical time periods.
Victorian gothic noir,
yeah, okay,
less vampire,
yeah,
more eldritch horror,
yeah exactly, more eldritch horror, which is okay with me.
Okay, so I've been checking out some games. I had another flash
sale that I recommended to you.
There was one that you recommended to me, but okay. I had to wait for that to load. So in the meantime, okay. I ended up playing one called Sun and Moon, which is a puzzle game.
Okay.
It's very simplistic.
Okay. Oh, well, I was like, sometimes you would choose like bad puzzle games. Or
you know what? This one, you hush.
Yeah, I'm just
you
thinking
hush.
About that PETA, the kitty cat.
The PETA cat shooter game was a mistake.
That
I'm
was
looking
really
at that.
Funny. That's a funny. Like,
I didn't expect that. I didn't see the PETA thing when it popped
really
up.
That's really funny.
Yeah, you laugh,
it
but...
It makes me laugh.
But I did that, and then I got Paranautical Activity, which is... It runs on the Unity engine, so it's all, like, a first-person shooter idea, except
okay.
It's a first-person shooter with a sort of Minecraft sort of aesthetic, so everything looks cubey and 8-bitty,
oh,
and...
I like that.
I am not good at FPSs, so nah. I have not been getting very far.
It's okay. I'm not also good.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. I'm not bad, but I'm no way good.
So I finally got these to finally try because I hear a lot of people talking about Paranautical Activity.
I've never heard of it.
Well, now you have.
Yeah, now I have. Does it have to do with boats?
I think it has more to do with like underwater stuff.
Oh, okay, so you're underwater.
Yeah, and a lot, like it has an underwater sort of.
Is this scary?
It's scary. I'm not scared, but okay. It's, I think, also categorized as a horror, but
oh, okay.
A horror shooter. It's...
Okay.
It looks neat. It's Unity Engine. It's something I'm used to playing on.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I got Everything, the
Yay.
Game we talked about last week, made
yeah.
by David O'Reilly.
Yeah.
And I didn't get too far into it, but I started off as a bighorn sheep. I'm not sure if everybody started... It was. Because
what a silly little game.
Yeah. So you start off being able to do nothing but move around.
Okay.
You can move around. If you don't touch your controllers, the animal just moves around on its own, doing its own little thing.
Oh, that's funny.
Doing its cartwheels as it moves around the world.
It's wacky. Yeah.
And then
it's good animation.
It is. It's a thing that exists.
Yeah.
So you have to go to all these thought bubbles to figure out what you do next.
Okay.
And it's giving you all these philosophical ideas like, oh, yes, rocks don't call each other rocks. We call each other musical notes, but you can't pronounce that, so you can call us rocks. Okay.
Wow.
It's a very trippy sort of sense of humor, which...
Yeah, which I feel is apt.
Yeah, and I think it was very Douglas Adams inspired, because this is the same guy who did animation stuff for Hitchhiker's Guide
oh,
to
yeah.
the Galaxy.
Yeah, you were saying that, yeah.
So I'm thinking he's taking a lot of that into consideration, too.
Philosophy, yeah, well, maybe he's a fan, yeah.
Oh, well, I'd imagine he's a fan.
Okay.
Yeah. So you go and pick up different skills as you go along. So
okay.
The next thing you learn to do is sing. So you have to press the R3 button to make your sheep sound. And all of the plants and all of the animals respond to you. So
oh.
I ran into some lions and I bat at them and they roared back at me. Oh. They didn't touch me at all. And then you run into other bighorn sheep and you're like, well, I can bat at them and they can bat back at me. They can sing at me.
Yeah.
And then you start bonding with them. They start making a herd
yeah.
that you can control and roll across.
Which is, I think that's like the funniest thing. Like it's a big gang of flipping animals.
It's pretty funny that you're stampeding while
cartwheeling. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that.
And once you get to a certain level, you can either ascend and become a bigger thing or you can descend and become a much smaller thing. So I decided to test the parameters of this. How small could I go?
Yeah, how small?
Well, I went from sheep to
okay.
ant to okay. plant to dust mote
oh.
to bacteria.
Cool.
And then you start going smaller and smaller into fractals.
Oh, that's cool.
Until the point that you start getting back in, like you start going to... supernovas again, down
so
to stars,
like, yeah.
down to planets, down
to
cliffs.
Yeah.
You can control whole planets and bond with other planets, which is kind of...
That's interesting.
It is. So you go from planet down to cliff, down to boulder, down to rock, down to animal again. So you
yeah.
can start going into different animals.
That is cool. I like... It's a good idea that it is a cycle.
It, yeah, and then it goes the same way the other way. So you really can
yeah.
be everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I like all this concept. I think it's hilarious and it reminds me of Katamari, which I love.
Which was what I was thinking of too. Was
yeah.
this is very Katamari-esque. I don't know what the goal is yet
because yeah.
I was too busy playing for like an hour and a half last night,
just
rolling around and
that's
becoming
hilarious.
As big and small as I could.
Yeah, see,
I was an armadillo.
That's I think that's kind of the, like, almost with Katamari, there is a goal in the Katamari is to make it as big, but it also is sort of enjoyable just to roll around.
And collect as much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it was weird that when you got to certain rocks, they didn't cartwheel. They moved like motorboats where you can glide across the ground, which is really weird that the rocks will move and bond with other rocks.
That's true. Yeah, you're like, these rocks are animal. Maybe it was just way easier to animate.
You know what? It's never specifically stated that you're on Earth because you can go onto other planets and, you know, become other creatures.
Well, and even you can, like, be continents, right? And you can, like, shift or islands, and you could... So you're, like, making your own continents.
But my first thought was, man, did I just drown all the small things on me?
Oh, no.
I really hope I did not just kill all the animals on me.
They quickly flipped to the other side.
It was a really neat game, and I'm going to play more of it because I want to figure out, like, what is the whole purpose to having all this? Do I eventually get missions, or is this just a thing that I can do just to
Yeah, I want to say it probably is just, I think... It's probably just a chill
and
game.
It's got some good humor to it, and it's got that sort of, again, that British humor that I think is totally Douglas Adams inspired.
I believe you. I think, like, I've watched the trailer, and in the trailer they have a guy talking through it, and I think he's a philosopher. Like, it's the same guy about rocks.
Yep.
But I think he's a philosopher, and I think as you go through, like you were saying, you find thought bubbles that give you little...
Yeah, like the plain ones will just give you ideas that these plants or animals have, but the rainbow ones will actually give you objectives, like this is what you can do.
Oh, okay.
But it's not an actual mission. Like, you can bond with creatures if you press this particular button.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just neat talking, quotation marks, to the other animals, where you can just, like, start screaming at them, baying at them, and they'll just reply with little hearts.
That is interesting. I like, can you eat other animals?
I did not find any predation in this game.
Okay, that's interesting.
I was just going by the lions, and they weren't doing anything other than roaring back at me and having a grand old time cartwheeling around.
And you, as a ram, did not try to eat them.
Me, as a ram, did not try to eat the lions.
Okay. Well, we'll never know.
No, but I was having more fun as an armadillo. So.
No, that's funny. See, an armadillo, you could animate just to make it roll, right?
Yeah, but it didn't just roll. It cartwheeled like everything else.
Yeah. I personally think the cartwheel animation, I think that's great.
The ants skittered around like proper ants.
Yeah. The bugs sort of do. Like.
Yeah. So it wasn't. Sadly, you did not get cartwheeling ants.
Might be too difficult. I don't know. I don't know video games. It's like, it might be too difficult, but I don't know.
And yeah, that's what I have been playing lately. I am excited because this weekend, a game I have been hoping for so long is finally out. It has been shipped out already to people who pre-ordered it.
Are you?
It's a day early.
Is that you?
No, it is not me. Friends who can afford such immediate luxuries have gotten the game.
Well, you'll get it on the weekend.
I'm hoping so because payday, my bills are paid. I don't have to pay for rent right away.
So yeah, Megan's talking about Persona 5 finally comes out. Yay.
They are having a midnight launch at PNB.
Are you going to that?
No, because I am tired. I have too much to do. I am an adult.
I love that you're like, and people who got pre-orders, like you? No, not me. And then there's a party. You?
No.
Not me.
So I'm probably just going to have to go after work on Saturday.
And just pick it up and play?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. This sounds like, are you inviting me over? Is that what you're saying?
I will try and see if I can access the TV in order to do such a thing.
No, don't worry about it. But yeah, I'm excited for you because Persona 5 has been in the works for a while, I guess, or it's just...
I need my violent dating sim, okay?
Yeah. I don't even, like... I sort of get that you are vigilantes or you're criminals?
You are thieves.
Thieves,
dashing and daring thieves. Gentlemen thieves.
Okay, well, criminals, you're one of those.
Yeah.
And then...
But you're stealing in the name of justice and crime solving. So.
Okay.
So you're
vigilante might also fit under there.
You're vigilante thieves and cat burglars and...
And criminals.
And you have a cat mascot that is way better than that old teddy bear mascot.
I like Teddy.
You know who is better than Teddy, too?
Who?
Koromaru.
The dog?
The dog.
The dog was pretty great because you could hang out with the dog.
You could give the dog a knife and the dog would knife fight. Okay?
Yeah, the dog, yeah. I think I did have, like, so this is Persona 3 we're talking
about. Yes, we are.
It was a very cute dog. I think he had a little wing thing, didn't he? Yeah.
So you always have mascots with JRPGs.
Oh, yeah. You have to. That's, yeah. Oh, I don't know. There isn't one.
There is no JRPG that has never had a cute animal mascot.
Yeah. Like, no. I was like, you could say Final Fantasy, but I'm like, Chocobo, technically.
Chocobos and Moogles.
Moogs.
Moogles and I guess even the Dark Magician or the...
Tonberries?
Yeah, I guess sort of.
There's lots of cute ones. There is.
So really, there's a...
There's a...
A lot of cute animals.
It's true. Yeah. So I'm excited for you in your Persona 5.
I will share it with you. You'll get to play it someday. Yeah. I know you.
I will
trade you Persona 5 for Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. I don't know. That's not even like Persona 5. I want you to get something like maybe get like Horizon Zero Dawn or Nier. And then we'll switch.
All right.
Yeah, because I'm almost at a point. Like I played a lot of hours. I finally got all of the shrines in Breath of the Wild.
Finally did it.
Yeah, so that's 120. I had to wait for a blood moon to show up to get one of them, and that was the one I was waiting around for. And then it finally happened. But you know what? I'm only at like 27%.
Still?
So, yeah. Yeah, so I guess there's probably lots of things, like I have to fill out the whole Hyrule Compendium, which is like a book of pictures of stuff.
I just want you to beat 100% of this game.
I could do it.
I want that to be your crowning moment of
Zelda.
Yeah.
I need like a guide, because there's some things in this, like, so the little, you remember the Koroks?
Yes.
Is that what they're called? They're back in this. And as...
Don't they have the little pine cone thingies or the seeds that you gotta...
Yeah, the little seeds.
Do you know what you get if you get them all? Because I do.
Oh, but these seeds in Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Is it not very great?
It's... you get a piece of poop. You get a golden piece of poop.
What does that do?
It's a golden piece of poop.
Is that it? Is this in Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll show this to you after.
Okay. I believe you. I'm just like, yeah, I guess, ooh, spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry, guys. If you collect all the Korok seeds, you get a golden piece of poop.
I don't even know how many Korok seeds there are. I have a lot. Like, I'm pretty good at finding them, but...
I think it's like 300.
Oh, boy. Are you serious?
Yeah. Or it might even be like 900.
That's a lot.
I'm going to confirm this. Don't make a fact.
Because now that I'm, like, I've got quite a few, but that seems, like...
excessive?
Well, I don't know if excessive. Because they, basically, the Korok seed, the seeds let you expand your inventory, but specifically only your weapons and your shields. And it varies by, like, you know, every time you get one, you give him one, and then he's like, nah, I need two the next time, and then I need five, and then I need eight, and then I need 12, so, yeah.
That's kind of how that went with the seeds from Ocarina of Time.
Which seeds?
You had to get the bean sprouts that you planted as a kid,
yeah.
And then it went up in price.
Which, it was a, like, it is still a cool idea. Like, the Korok seeds are okay, because it is a little reward. I will give you that, like, I have this thing where, you know, I gotta climb to the top of every mountain that I go on.
Mm-hmm.
And it does very much reward me with climbing at the top of every mountain, because at the top of every mountain is, like, a Korok. He's up there. So I do appreciate that, because for me, if I went to a mountain and there was the top of it and there was nothing at it, I would be like, why did I do this?
But so before we complete our Breath of the Wild update and our episode, I do have to ask, are the Korok seeds, are they baby Koroks? Oh. Are you collecting Korok children?
I'm giving them to a Korok.
Are you just, you know?
I don't know. But the thing is that you put this question, but the thing is they're giving me their children. I'm not asking for them. I just find a Korok under a rock and he's like, here you go. And I say, okay.
Are you just like a Korok babysitter now?
I guess so. But then I give them back to a guy. So.
Okay, so.
I give them back to another Korok.
So you're the Korok stork, is what you are.
Kind of, I guess. Yeah, I go up on mountains and bring baby Koroks. Because it's the guy, that's funny you say that, because the guy who you give the stuff to, he's in their Korok forest, their magical.
So essentially when they have the talk, it's the birds and the bees and the Link.
And Link brings us babies.
That's
weird.
That's disturbing in its own way.
Yeah.
I think on that note, we're going to leave for the week.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, everybody, and you have yourself a good rest of the week.
I will try to play a different video game.
I am coming back next week with hopefully Persona 5 news, because...
Woo! Yeah.
Supplies while they last.
That's
okay?
true.
I'm going to get there like a minute after midnight, and they'll be like, I'm sorry.
They're all gone.
You didn't pre-order.
Well, I feel you could buy it on the digital download thing.
Yeah, but why would I do that?
Okay.
Why would I spend more?
Oh, it's more?
Well, no, why would I spend the same amount for something I want physically?
Okay. Physical, I understand that. I understand.
I want to be able to hold the game.
I know. I understand.
I'm old, okay?
This You're like, I want to have that physical copy in my hand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like having a book and a digital book. I want the real book.
That's okay.
Sure.
All
right, everybody. You enjoy your week. Keep slacking.
Have a good one.